Talk Radio.
Wake up! It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce, a Canon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists Inc. production.
Yes, hi, good evening, everyone. This is Candace Carey, a.k.a. Kimmy Lucci. So tonight we are collaborating with our newest production, our newest radio host. His name is Clifton Pierce. He is out of Chicago, and his new show premiered last Sunday. The title of his radio show is titled Just Chicago. And so we mixed it up a little bit this week in respect to, with a focus, I should say, on what's been going on globally and specifically in the United States with racial injustices that's been happening. It started 400 years ago, actually, but it reared its ugly head again with a nasty, 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 sting. It started with Audrey Aubrey this year. I'm focusing on this year. Audrey Aubrey, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and now recently we've had the assault of Jacob Blake by the hands of the police officials or police officers out in, I want to say Milwaukee, but I'm sure it was. Anyway, so we're focusing on this, and our special guest tonight that Clifton Pierce is going to get a chance to really to talk to tonight. His name is Craig Hodges, and he was a NBA All-Star. He's still a champion, and he's still a freedom fighter. But some like to say that Craig Hodges was or is the Colin Kaepernick of the NBA. So stay tuned. We're going to bring on Mr. Clifton very soon after these short messages.
Wake up. It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce, a Canon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists Inc. production.
So,
I guess
we're
going to use your phone. Yes.
Hi, you're live on the air, sweetheart.
How are you doing, sweetheart? What's going on?
You know, I'm well. I'm blessed and ready for your show tonight. I'm excited about your special guest. And we're going to, you know, dive into the topics, I guess, of his career and whatever you want to talk to. It's your show, and I'm here to assist. I'm here to help out, and I'll just be on here doing that. So you know, go at it.
Okay, did I hear my theme song?
That's, yes, sir. Do you like it?
Yeah, okay, that's my theme song. What's going on, Marvin Gaye? Even today we're asking what's going on. Okay, so how long will we be on the air exactly?
You are on the air live right now.
Okay.
You're
ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to say welcome to Chicago. We are Chicago. Name of my show is called Just Chicago. And one of the reasons that I want to do this show, because I want to show Chicago in a different light. Okay, we are a city of opportunity. We are very diverse. We're diverse in neighborhoods. We're diverse in opportunities. And we're just a great city to visit. We're not the city that you may see every evening on the 6 o'clock news. Now, my special guest is going to be Craig Hodges. I'm waiting on him to arrive. So in the meantime, I do have an array of other people in the city of Chicago who have made a difference. And I'm going to start out with a gentleman that I met some years ago in the Bud Billiken parade. Now, if you wasn't aware, Bud Billiken was a mythical character involved with the promotion of our black children going back to school. And John Abbott, I believe, he was the originator of the defendant. Robert Abbott. Okay, he put that together, the Black Bud Billiken Parade, and that's where I met Mr. Little. He did the security. And what I'm really trying to say here is that in 1991, I was a reporter for the Defender. I was just having fun. I didn't know about doing no report, but I could talk. And I wrote an article, and Mr. Sinsdag, when I got to work, Mr. Sinsdag wanted me to come upstairs. Well, you don't go see Mr. Sinsdag. So when they called me to come upstairs, I knew I was fired. I was just waiting on him to fire me so I can go hustling. And so when I came in his office, he said, well, young fella, you wrote an article in the paper that we're getting a lot of calls on. And I said, yes, sir. So I waiting on him to fire me. I don't want to hear all this lecturing. So I said, well, what article did I write, sir? He said, you wrote an article that that a lot of people are calling us about integration. And what I said was, the worst thing that ever happened to the black community was integration. And that was 1991. One thing about me, I document what I say. Okay, 1991, I wrote that article, and our newspaper just lit up with it. And I'm going to do another story about that. I also had a clothing store at the time, young girl. I've been hustling a long time. And so the merchandise mark, first of all, the merchandise mark, that's where all the stores buy the clothing from. Okay, and there was only one black guy other than me that owned a clothing store. And so the security would always stop me when I'm going up the steps, because they didn't believe I owned the store, especially being that young. So anyway, they hadn't opened yet. And at the time, Harold Washington was the mayor. So I said, I've always been a reader. So I said, let me get me a Defender and read it till they open up. So I went to the newsstand, and I'm telling you, the city hall was about 5 blocks away from where I was at. And I asked the guy for a Defender, and he asked me, what was that? Okay. With a black mayor, and less than 5 blocks from where I was at, they didn't carry the Defender. Okay, so we have got to become controlled of our community, control of our economic development in our community. And we're going to have some people on here tonight that are just going to be talking about those things. And I'm going to start with Mr. W.L. Lillard, because what he has is called Star Planet Television. This is where down through the years he's had all different entertainers. He talked about different subjects. So I'm going to bring him on now.
Hello, W.L. here.
Yes, welcome to the Justice Chicago show. How you doing, sir?
I'm
Carrie.
Well, thank you very much. In Chicago here, we have lost focus on who we are. We don't go to the Constitution and read. Therefore, we don't know that the president is not elected by the people. They're appointed by the plutocracy, plutocrats as they're known, but they call it the Electoral College. But it's the politicians the Electoral College is a part of the Democratic led politicians who rule the country. Well, rule the free world, really. They tell the person, we want you to become president and we want you to do this job. And that's what they do. They get the job. As we know, Trump lost by almost 3 million votes, but he still became president. Now, we don't know if he's done the job or if he showed them that he was incompetent of doing the job, but here we are, waiting to see. And we got people in Chicago running around, oh, we got to vote Trump out. You can't vote Trump out. You should try and find out what Trump is doing. Find out how he's doing it. And maybe you want to join him when you really find out what's happening. See? But anyway, when let's say when during the inaugural speech, Trump came out, he looked around as if he was looking, trying to see who was there that he knew. And, you know, one way to find out was to say, I'm going to make America great again. Oh, the biggest jumped up and they were screaming, yes, we're going to make America great again. We're going to make America great again. But then Trump came in and said, but there's only one America. You may be black, you may be white, or you may be brown, but you will all bleed red. We didn't get that message. We did not get that message. We continued. Now, we talk about the black politicians. Black politicians think that they're in charge. And they have bamboozled the public to the extent that the public goes along with that. This alderman or this congressman or this state representative, they're leaders. No, they're not leaders. They're servants of the public. The policemen, they're servants of the public. Politicians are being paid by the public. So how are we getting pushed around the way we are? That's what Cliff and the rest of us are going to be trying to get our people to understand how we're being pushed around by nobody. We're being pushed around by nobody. These people are just servants of the people. They're bamboozles us into believing that they are somebody big. Thank you very much.
Wait, you know what?
All right.
Sorry, before you go, this is Candace. I wanted to ask him a question. Can you? What's
okay,
his name?
Come on. Yeah.
Okay. In regards to, I was reading an article today, and it was talking about the California, Sacramento to be exact. They were looking, putting together a committee to, I guess, review or study the possibility of reparations, which would be due July. Well, they'll start the committee July 21st, and it'll be due sometime in 2023. So my question is to you, sir, what would reparations look like to you in Chicago, and how would you want to see the allocation of that dispersed in your community?
Well, let me say this here. There's a statistical fact that you took all the money from the rich folks and gave it to the black folks or the real poor folks, they'll have it back in an hour. Okay? Yeah, so I don't believe in that. Okay, you want to know about reparations? What about reparations when the military came home? And they were given opportunity to go to college, discounts on education, discounts on housing, job preference, the whole nine yards. Those are reparations. When you're talking about reparations, you're not talking about actually giving somebody some money, because they're going to do is kill itself. You see what they did with that $1,200 they gave them. Didn't nobody get no money. I ain't going to say that because I'm on television. But the rent man didn't get the money. He didn't get the landlord still didn't get his money out of that deal. So you just can't give nobody no money with no education to go with it. You can give me reparations by building vocational schools and teaching our kids all different trades. To thine own self be true, Shakespeare said that. So what I'm saying is, Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, know thyself and out of no other. And he said, do for yourself. But at the same time, if you're telling a man to pull himself by the bootstrap, that he can't do that if he ain't got on no boots. Okay, now the same thing when I'm talking about these young people in Chicago and this gun violence. Now, if I tell these kids to put the guns down, take the guns out of their hand, what am I going to put in them? Reparations, that's what I'm going to put in them, vocational training. We got a lot of schools here. I think we closed about, 20 or 50 schools this year, these last couple of years. So we take those schools and buy them up ourselves and put in vocational training where we train our kids to take care of ourselves, because we built America to be first place. Trump talking about building the White House. Black people built that White House. Okay, so I'm just saying we need to be self-contained and control the dollar that comes through our neighborhood. So that's what I feel about reparations.
That,
you know, it's not a handout.
Right.
It's an opportunity.
Yeah.
Right, but I think we could do it all. I think what you're saying is awesome, and that should be added. And in addition to that, I mean, there is a thing of inheritance, and I think we are due inheritance, even if it is in the form of monetary, a monthly stipend or something like the tribes that receive and the trainees have received. I think we should get that and some more, and vocational training. But I think
let me
inherit
one of my
that.
Guests expound on that. I'm gonna have one of my guests expound on that. He has an organization. He's working with a lot of the young people in the community. He's also working with the ex-offenders. Let me tell you something about that. Prison is a business. Okay, it's $33,000. Yeah, it's a $33,000 a year to house a prisoner. Right now, they're having a problem with Kim Fox. Kim Fox, your job is to lock them up, not let them out. Okay, and I'm saying right now, these NBA ball players, they're getting their attention because they're hitting them in their pocket. Dr. King's his boycott at work when they stop riding them buses. The white man's God is called a dollar. Okay, but I'm going to have this young gentleman, and he's going to tell you about who he is, what he does, and we need more black men like him. First of all, he looked black. That's important. He got all the features of a black man. Even the voice is heavy. Okay, so we need to have more images like him, physically and mentally and financially. Hold on one second.
Okay. And you know what, callers, I see the line is lighting up. Remember, I just want to let you know to press 1 on your dial tone. One second. To press 1 on your dial tone.
I'm the current president of the Lyndon Baltimore Black Foundation. I'm a two-time president of the NAACP, Rock Island County, Illinois, South Suburban, Illinois. Also, I was the National Crisis Director for Reverend Al Sharpton of the National Action Network. In 2000, I worked with Johnny Cochran and Sammy Rubens.
Okay, callers, listen, I want you to dial 1 if you have a question, and that way the board will light up, and then I'll let you know. You'll be in queue, and if you have any questions, just dial 1.
I'll go ahead. Inglewood used to be the black mecca of the world. We had all our own businesses. We had different opportunities, economic development. The black community was thriving then. But at the same time, at that time, we had excellent politicians. You know, there was honor amongst these, even though they might not have been the best politicians, but they took care of the community. And so right now across this country, that's what the problem is the black leadership. We've abandoned our communities. We have generations of young people that are educated from the age of, I want to say, 40 to 55, who've forgotten that they were black. They went off to the white colleges. They got the education. Their parents taught them never to come back just to get out. That was a big mistake. But what we need to do today is this. My foundation, Living and Driving While Black, if folks need us, they can reach us at 708-663-5262. We have to become self-sufficient. We have to invest into our own neighborhoods. We can invest into our own schools. Black people spend more money than all the other races put together, but we don't own nothing. We purchase foolish stuff like gym shoes, expensive clothes. We make everybody else rich, and everybody's come to our community and get rich. So what we're doing with the Living and Driving While Black Foundation, first, we're identifying politicians, and I think this is something that all black people should be aware of. At this point, we have to become a nation within a nation. No matter what you are, who you are, what you do, you're still part of the black nation. Once we become a black nation and all of us unite and invest into each other, we got millionaire ball players, we got millionaire actors, we got millionaires all over the country that's black, that don't invest back into the black community. If all the black people that are millionaires invested into our community, we could be totally self-sufficient, and then we wouldn't need to be waiting for food stamps and welfare. And just like the brother said, we don't need reparations. Of course we do, because this country was built on the backs of black people, and it's supposed to be equal opportunities. So all the stuff that he mentioned, the schools and all of that, We're supposed to get that automatically. That's not a privilege. That's the privilege of being an American. So black people need to wake up and understand, if we don't unite, firstly, we got to remove the politicians out of there that doesn't represent the black community. There's no sense in paying somebody taxpayer dollars to do nothing but run their mouth and kiss babies when it's time to get reelected. Secondly, we have to move all the different nationalities out the black community. We have to almost segregate in our minds. We have to think back black, be black, invest into black. We can get the Arabs out of our community and everybody else. We have to have direct competition. There is no competition with these business owners in our community. They come in, the black dollar stays in the black community for less than a minute. The dollar is gone. There's no reinvestment from these people in our community. So secondly, we have to get them out through economic competition. Thirdly, we have to start investing into our own schools. The biggest problems with our children is today is that they don't have any traditional backgrounds on how black people had to struggle to get to where we're at. They're lazy, and it's because of the parents who never held them accountable. So now our children are running wild. We have to learn how to re-educate them. We need our own schools. We need our own businesses. Everything that we do in order for black people to be successful, we have to think black, and we have to think about becoming a nation within a nation. So I'm saying to the folks today, if you need us and what we do with this organization, Living and Driving While Black, you can go to our website. You can find me on David L. Lowry Jr. Facebook page and other social media sites. But our organization is called Living and Driving While Black. Living conditions and driving conditions are the worst for black people on the face of this planet. And we are working hard with ex-offenders, brothers on the street, GDs, BDs, vice lords, all the brothers like Don Dirt, Pooh Bear, who we just had a big event, and we brought in trucks of foods and clothes, everything to reinvest and give away free in our community. That's what we're doing as an organization. And if you are not about that, if you're not about trying to reinvest into the black community, then you're part of the problem, and you got to go. So I want to thank Mr. Cook for having me. And, folks, believe me, if you need us, we deal with police brutality. We deal with racial discrimination. We deal with any forms of discrimination with this foundation. Our number is 708-663-5262. Again, 708-663-5262. My name is David L. Lowry, Jr. I'm the president of the Living and Driving While Black Foundation. And you can catch us on Let the Truth Be Told every Saturday on Intellectual Radio, Saturdays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. God bless y'all. It's time for black people to unite. We have to fight and reestablish the black family for our kids. God bless y'all. Be a benefactor to your community. And peace.
Hello, Candace?
Yes, sir. Yes,
hello.
Sir.
Are
yes,
you with
hi.
Me?
Yes, I'm with
okay,
you.
Listen.
I'm with you.
Okay. Well, listen, I want you to get some questions together. We're going to take a five-minute break.
All right. Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Wake up!
Wake up! It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce, a Canon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists, Inc. production.
through the Auburn.
Auburn and the 16
War. Before Anna Langford.
Anna was number one. Mm-hmm. Anna, she was number one. My grandma was number two.
She followed her Anna.
Anna Langford, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hello. Hi, Candace. Okay, Candace. I want to talk about a few other things.
Wake up. It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce.
Okay. That's fine. Come on.
A Canon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists, Inc. production.
Hello, Candace.
I got an interview at my studio.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm on my phone. I'm the one of the old show.
Yeah.
I probably one of the
here, and I haven't jumped yet.
Hello.
Yeah, Clifton.
Are you with me, Candace?
I'm still here. I have not jumped yet. I'm here.
Okay.
Let's. So, we took a break, and I mean, the conversation tonight is intense. I got to be honest.
You gotta turn your volume up, son, huh, baby? I can't hear you good.
Okay. Can you hear me now? So our conversation tonight is intense, and we are talking about racial injustice. We are focusing on what's going on in the United States. The assault of Jacob Blake last week, it seems like, or maybe 2 weeks ago, where he was shot 7 times in the back by a police officer. Before that, we had Audrey Aubrey jogging in Atlanta and Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
We had George Floyd, knee,
mm-hmm.
he couldn't breathe. Okay, so, you know, our country is at an unrest, and I think it's time to heal. I really do. I think that the healing needs to begin. We all need to come together and actively do something, write some legislation. We were talking about reparations, which is coming, but I think, you know, we definitely need to discuss what it would look like.
Mm-hmm.
So, Clifton,
well, you know, Candace, let me run a few things down that I want to talk to you about on the political arena. One of the things that I tried to get across to Joe Biden is that, Joe Biden, you're not running against Trump. You're running against voter apathy, okay? They need to read the Harold Washington playbook on how to run a campaign. Kamala Harris is not just going to carry that for him, okay? And he's got to get out here. He's got to put troops on the ground. You cannot win a war if you don't have no infantry. And I'm just saying right now, there is no office in Chicago for the Democratic Party in regards to the election, which I find to be very strange. Also, I want to talk about the fact that I want these black boys in high school to start going to these black colleges, okay? Those athletic companies, they're going to follow where those black boys go. So I'm just saying we need to start going to our black colleges, leave the Notre Dames and all them alone, and go to some of our historically black colleges. That's one thing I want to push. Lori Lightfoot, superintendent of police, I know you took the little tight suits off, man, but this is Chicago. Welcome to the major leagues. Okay, here's a man don't have no idea about what he's doing. And Lori Lightfoot has made so many enemies that she has nobody helping her. They're not going to do anything to make her look good. When she got inaugurated, she went and got federal marshals for bodyguard. That immediately alienated her as far as the police department is concerned. And so she's in a situation right there that she really can't get out of because of the fact that she's basically just alienated herself from the police department. The unions here are very strong because those are Klan members, okay? Now, at this point, I want you to meet a young lady here. She had the foresight for years. She had a newspaper and magazine called Indigo, and she saw a couple of years earlier, she said a couple of years earlier, the importance of the magazine business moving to the internet per se. So now she has put her newspaper and magazine online, as well as the fact that she's got a TV program that she does now. And her name is Miss Harmeen Hartman. Now, to some of you people out here, you may be a little too young. That name Hartman may ring a bell to some people, so we'll talk about that. But at this time, I'm going to bring her on, and she's just going to talk about Chicago because she wrote a book about Chicago. And I want you to tell me about that book. Okay, 1 second. Here we go, baby. Candace.
Good evening, Candace.
Good evening. Yes, good evening. I am well. I'm well. Welcome to the Justice Chicago Blog Talk Radio Show. How are you?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm good. I'm great. So we started a magazine. We called it a MAGA paper. It looked like a magazine, but it was on newsprint called Indigo. And we started it years ago. I was sick and tired of the way black folk were portrayed in mainstream media, and I felt we needed a new voice and another voice. And so we featured personalities, politicians, educators, clergy, entrepreneurs, medical people on our cover in a profile mode. I called it with a Vogue look, and it was very popular, very successful. In 2017, as we saw kind of the turn of advertising in the media, we went online exclusively, and now we're doing a television program called Indigo Studio. We go into our second season for October. One of the things that we did last year that Mr. Pierce wanted me to talk about is we did about 3,000 stories, profile stories on our cover. And what we did is we did a book called Indigo Legacy 110. And it's a book on contemporary history of African Americans in Chicago who have made a real difference. We were the very first newspaper in the world to cover, for example, Barack Obama. We kind of saw him as a young politician and that he had a lot of promise and opportunity. Muhammad Ali is in the book. Reverend Jackson is in the book. Minister Louis Farrakhan and a host of other people who have really been impactful and influential in this city and the country.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to be on the show tonight.
You're welcome.
Yeah, yeah. So where can we, do you have a website or where can the listeners that would like to be debuted in your magazine, where can they send their stuff to?
The magazine for the online, you can go to indigo.com, and we spell Indigo Indigo.com. And for the book, if you're interested, you can go to Indigo Legacy, and all of the book information pops up. And of course, it's at Amazon. You got to put everything on Amazon now, so it's at Amazon too.
Okay. So we were talking. The topic tonight is we're focusing on racial injustice. We were discussing reparations. I mentioned
say it again. I can't
earlier
hear you.
On the show. We are discussing reparations. Tonight is the focus is racial injustice. And I asked the question to all the gentlemen that spoke earlier, what would reparations look like? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Uh-huh.
Okay.
So you want to
talk
about
would
reparations?
Yes, in your city in Chicago and the allocations of that, and how would you like for that to look?
Well, I agree with Mr. Pierce on education. I think that's where it starts, but I also think that some money allocation ought to be awarded, and I also think people ought to be given money for entrepreneurship, and I think we've seen, you know, when black folks talk about reparations, everybody goes nuts as to they don't know what we're talking about, but we have done reparations for Jews, and we have done reparations for Japanese. So we have some models that we can follow, but because for America, for black America, we have free slave labor that we were not paid for. And if you want to reflect that and recreate what those dollars would be, I think we could compute it. It's not 40 acres and a mule. But we need to modernize it and come on up to date in Chicago, what that would look like is one would be education. I think there ought to be some relief maybe of taxes. Maybe we didn't pay taxes for a certain amount of time. I think housing could be implemented. And I think people who wanted to go into business, they could be given some stipends or they could be awarded some dollars. One of the most difficulties with black business people is access to capital. And I think the government might be able to make capital available for entrepreneurship or for some businesses. So that's what it would look like to me. But I
said that sounds great. I'm listening.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's what it would look like for me.
Okay. So before you go, I want to bring on Shelly Mancinon. She is the marketing director for the Nick Cannon Foundation. She can talk more about the proposal, the HR proposal that was written up and it was passed, but hasn't been funded yet. Shelly Mancinon?
Yeah,
Shelly, you're on the line?
Hey.
Okay.
Hey, I would like to welcome everybody to the Cannon Media Network. With starring Clifton Pierce, co-starring Candace Carey, and myself, Shelly Mancinon. In case I've missed anything, y'all, I completely understand, and you understand that time on each coast is a little different here. So I hope everybody is kind of having a good time on the line tonight. Reparation, the H.R. 1242 reparation out of Washington is an opportunity, and Nick had been given. Despite what's going on now, he's continued on his good efforts. And that were to be like us black people say, black people need their money. And so they've appointed Nick to be the chairman to make sure that our needs are met and specific needs are met. So, Candace, thank you for bringing me on the line very briefly. I'm going to go back to the back office. We are going to take this show today and we are going to advertise it after we do the show today.
Okay.
So,
okay, lovely.
So, yeah, because I'm out in the field right now,
tremendous.
You all. I love you all. And please keep the show going. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Candace, you want Mr. Pierce back?
It's up to you. Yes, that would be great. It was great talking with you and meeting you, and I hope to see you in Chicago.
My pleasure. Please come. This is the city where it all starts. So you got to come because this is what we do. We started up here. You know, reparations, we had a young man here. He just passed from COVID named Conrad World, Dr. Conrad World. And he was forthright in reparations. And he's one of the people that we talk about in our book. But he was one of the leaders of reparations in America, really. And he took it to the U.N., okay, here's Mr. Pierce, and thank you, and I look forward to meeting you one day.
Likewise. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, Candace?
Yes.
Hello.
I'm here. Yeah.
Hey,
yes,
are there any questions you want to ask me?
Well, listen, I just want to open up the line. If you have the guests that are on the line, press 1 if you want to speak. And then we'll definitely put you on.
I wish we could increase our volume a little bit more, honey.
Right. Well, I'm pretty much screaming right now. So can you hear me now?
Nah, yes
maybe
and no, not really.
Okay. I'm doing the best I can here. But I don't have any questions. I think the show is going very well. I think the lady that I spoke with, we were talking about reparations. You know, my thing is, Mr. Pierce, if you can put your phone on mute.
Okay, let me, Candace, I'm really not hearing you well, but what I want to speak about is one of my suggestions in regards to this voting. Say you got a senior building and you got 100 people living in a senior building. I would like for those coordinators of that building to get an early voting application for everybody, and everybody fill out that voter registration and the ballot,
and then one particular person that is a coordinator, another person resident in the building, take those to the polling places, okay, so that the people don't have to worry about going out to the polls and everything. And everybody on the city block, you know, create a block on your city, on your block, create a group, then everybody gets their early voting, and one particular person go around and collect that and take it into the ballot. That way voting is not lost. Anybody that don't vote, we're going to shame him because he didn't turn in his ballot. Okay, so that's what I'm saying, because talk is cheap, you know. And I want everybody to watch this movie where this young, this black man was told in order for him to vote, he had to tell them how many bubbles was in a bar of soap. Okay, if that's not enough to motivate you to get out and vote to what these people went through to get where they're at today, you know, then, you know, if you ain't voting for yourself, vote for your auntie and your uncle and your grandmama and them who went through the things they went through to get to this level. You know what I'm saying? So once again, what I'm going to do now, I'm going to close out with you, and I'm going to have everybody else say whatever they want to say because we got 10 minutes, and I'm going to let some of the other people holler at you on the closing. But the bottom line, I'm getting a lot of calls here saying that they cannot get the calls through somehow or other they're not coming in on the line. But I'm going to bring Mr. Lowry back and let him close because basically he's working with the people in the street. Because let me say this here. Lori Lightfoot, when I walk in a room, everybody knows it's me. They say, hey, man, that's Cliff. Gator Bradley walking in the room. Hey, man, that's Gator. Sam Chapman. Hey, man, that's Sam. She's hiring people that nobody ever seen before. Too many minutes in the street not to know these people that she's hiring. They have spent $950 million on violence in the city of Chicago. Tell me crime don't pay. Somebody getting paid, you know, and ain't no results being made out of it. So what I'm saying right here, Jen, she needs to hire the people. She got to put troops on the ground. She got to hire people who know what Tilden is. She got to know people where Dunbar is, where this and that there is. You got a superintendent don't even know where the streets are. So once again, you got to get guys like us who are foot soldiers, been out here all our lives, and we can make this thing happen because it ain't no magic act. So anyway, I'm going to bring David on now, and he's going to close out with us.
God bless you, and thank you for having me on the show. My message to my people is this. It is time for us to organize and unite. We have to not go further without all of us. That means brothers coming from home, from jail, the prisons, brothers on the streets, GDs, vice lords, bloods, crips, no matter what set you belong to, it's time for us to unite and take our communities back because we are the army. All the black men that's been locked up in jail, it's time to come home, give back, organize our young people, protect our women from these poachers stealing our kids, rebuild our community, and create the army that we are so that we can revitalize the black family and get together. My last words is this. Black people, we have to segregate in our minds. We have to invest into our own communities, our own stores, our own banks. I'm sending a message to all the athletes, actors who are millionaires. Come back home. Reinvest into your own community. Then you won't be disrespected like the disrespect that we have now with them killing black men and women unarmed, senselessly. So brothers and sisters, stand up. Just like Ali and the great athletes did before, stand up for your community because the politicians is not doing nothing but taking money, just like the preachers. The doors of the church is closed. They're scared. But that's not what God would do. Jesus stood up. So I'm asking black people to stand up, stand together, let us unite and fight for what is right and fight for the future of our kids. God bless y'all. Peace.
God bless you.
Hey, Candace.
Yes, I wanted to get WL to
say a few things to us. WL has a TV program called Star Planet. How long have you been on WL?
Since
1990. I want to just say 40 years he's been on TV. And I want him to close out with some of his thoughts before we get out.
Candy, I think you heard my thoughts. My thoughts are very clear that we got to take charge of our politicians in the city of Chicago. We got to take charge of our cities, I mean, in the suburban areas. We got to take charge of everything that's against us, everything that's planned against us right now. We got to take charge of it. And that's what I'm working on. We have an organization that we're forming to do this thing. And I'm going to invite my friend,
Let me say something. So I think we're living in a crazy time with a madman in the White House. And I think my message is vote. The most important thing that we can do in 2020 is to vote. One of the things that Trump said in his address at the convention is that this might be the most important election in the history of America, and he might just be right. We are seeing havoc in our streets, and they're trying to say that it is black people doing it, and I think a lot of times black people are being used as pawns. I know in Chicago, black people might have been the front and the face of it, but they were not the masterminds of it. It was too organized. It was too structured. There were vans. There were cars. And the anarchists were the leaders of the pack. Black folks wake up and see that for what it is. It's almost like they're trying to create a war. You just saw today havoc in Wisconsin. We've seen it in Portland and send in the troops and all of that. It is created. It is man-made created. It is not black folks going wild, going crazy, but we're being used. Our kids are being used in that regard. So vote, vote, vote. One of the things that I hear and understand and don't understand with Black Lives Matter is they go out and raise all the sand and then say we don't believe in the political process. Well, you might not believe in the political process, but the political process believes in you.
Gosh.
And you've got to vote. You've got to vote. We've got to change the we've got to change the land. We've got to change it by the rulers of the land. Now, the guys here have been pretty hard on black politicians. I'm going to be pretty hard on white politicians. Racism is a part of America's culture. It is apple pie in America. And if it's going to change, we have to change it. But we have to be the change. And it means we have to elect the proper officials. It means we have to protest and raise hell when needed and when necessary. But we have to get involved in the process in order to do that. And I urge everybody to vote for 2020. November 3rd will be a historic day. Thank you.
Okay,
you're welcome. Yes, sir.
Okay, so you heard some of my people here in Chicago. We didn't get a chance to get with Craig today, short notice maybe, but he will be with us next week. They sent me a message here that he was tied up. But right now, Craig is one of the hottest items in the country with LeBron doing a video on him. Did you see about the video?
I did. I did. I took a glance at it.
Yeah, well, LeBron James did a video on him. Newsweek magazine just did an article on him. And all this is happening within the last 2 weeks, I'd say. And I had a chance to meet with him, and I didn't understand about him not getting paid. And I said, well, man, we're going to see that you get paid. And ever since then, things are starting to happen for him. You know, but Colin Kaepernick made a lot of money taking a knee, and this boy took a dashiki, and he has nothing to show for it. And even when it comes to Michael and him, they didn't really stand for him either. And Michael is invested in the prison system here in Illinois. Michael has investment in 3 prisons in Illinois. And what happens there, the boy is going to prison for stealing gym shoes, so he's getting paid twice. Okay? So we have to become more conscious of our community. These boys, I feel like if we put more emphasis in our boys, the girls will follow. And we're being annihilated. And in 2020, in the year 2020, where we are now, they are doing a situation where they're trading in body parts. Let me tell you what the law says in Illinois about bodies when the autopsy is done. If an 18-year-old kid gets shot in the street in the city of Chicago and they do an autopsy on him, okay, after they do the autopsy, they are supposed to destroy the body parts, okay? Now, the only way the body parts go with the body, the parents and the family has a request the body parts to be with him. But the average black family, they're more concerned about how am I going to bury Junebug than whether his guts is with him or not. So So now you got a Shah of Iran or somebody over there that needs a kidney. And you're going to tell me they're throwing them in the garbage? Who are you talking to? Okay, there's an underground trade. Just like they got loose squares, they got loose body squares. And the black man is only one of the few, has a few genes that can go with any other race. The black man, the white man is at what they call a zero factor. And a zero factor is what, whenever one white man is born, two of them die. So they're being dying off. And so therefore, there's an open season on our black boys. Whenever you have a black boy and he leaves your house today and he make it back, it's a miracle. Because it's just like that. He got to fight the elements. He got to fight being black. He got to fight being the police coming at him, the gangs coming at him, society is coming at him. So we have to protect our boys. And if we do that, then I think our society as a whole. But we have to start taking care of ourselves. Ain't no, the army is not coming for us. Ain't no cavalry. We our own cavalry. And it starts in the house. And I'm going to say something on you ladies. A boy, you can be a great mother, but a boy needs a man in his life. Okay, he needs a man in his life to show him things of how to do and how to be. And stop holding back these fathers because the father didn't get your hair done or didn't get your nails done. Let that boy have a relationship with his father. So I'm going to take a couple of questions, then we're out of here.
Okay. I have a statement. I have a suggestion. I think what should happen is I don't know if you already have that, but maybe you put together a review committee of people in your sector in Chicago to review these things and to work with the politicians and work with the mayor, like a review board. Also, I was thinking of the police, and one of the ideas that I had was, you know, maybe going forward, if a police officer is out and he pulls over, let's say a white police officer is out and he pulls over someone who isn't white, maybe he should call in a black police officer that's not far away and then let him continue with the, you know, the reason why the guy was pulled over and vice versa. That way we can rule out racial profiling. That would solve a lot of the problems. And also, I think we should pursue mm-hmm. peace and love, even though it might oftentimes come with heartache and war. But ultimately, we should pursue peace and love.
Come on here and take it from me.
Because at the end of the day, can you hear me? At the end of the day, love is the only thing that can conquer hate.
You're talking in general?
No, I'm not talking in general. But anyway, can you?
Okay, once again, Candace, I want to say thank you. Thank the Nick Cannon Foundation. I'm looking forward to in October where we have the book signing.
Oh, you know what? We
I
have a
contacted
question.
Various bookstores in regards to your book.
Okay, we have a question. We have a question for you, Clifton. Can you hold on for a second? Clifton? Okay, hi, caller.
I have a question for you.
Yeah, the question.
Hi, caller. Caller ending 9774. You're on the line. Welcome to the Justice Chicago. We're sitting here.
I'm sorry. I was just listening in.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, cool. Well,
I was
welcome.
Calling listening in. I didn't have a question. I was listening in. I'm sorry.
Okay, no worries. No worries. No worries.
Okay.
Okay, Cliff. All right, this was a great show. Is there anything else? We got some time now. Clifton?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, you know what? He said
okay.
It, and tune in
Candace,
next week.
I am so
Clifton.
Sorry, sweetheart, that I'm really not hearing you, and we're going to work out the kinks as far as that's concerned. But once again, I want to say to Nick Cannon, James Cannon, and the Cannon Media Group to appreciate all of you guys, and we'll be back together this coming weekend where I have Judge Brewer is coming on. Also, one of my guests will be Bobby Hutton. He made the record 20 years later. We're going to talk about him from 20 years later. And he was one of the first artists to appear on Soul Train. As you know, Soul Train originated here in Chicago. And matter of fact, I was one of the first dancers on Soul Train along with me and Don Juan. That's another story. So with that, I'm going to close out and hope to talk to you later on this week. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Okay.
I didn't need to get such a problem last night. I couldn't get her.
My God!
Wake up. It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce. A Canon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists, Inc. production.
Laughing like the movie scenes, with love without a flaw. For me.